If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 56. That's where the message is coming from today. You know, for some of you, this is maybe your first Christmas after you were born again. I mean, you may celebrate Christmas many times, but this is the first time since you were born again, received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and was baptized into the church. And this is your first Christmas. Right, Alice? Yes. You know, this is also my grandson, Ethan's first birthday. Well, not first Christmas. He's only like 4 months old. And he's oblivious to all what's happening around him. And he certainly does not know the significance of this one baby born in the middle of the winter on the other side of the world has anything to do with him. We have the advantage because we are on this side of history. We have a complete record of the written word of God, so we know how this baby turned out and how this baby is the savior of all mankind, how this baby grew up to be crucified and rose again in 3 days. But did Mary know about that? Did Mary know about all that? And that was the song. After all, this is her first Christmas. She may have clues here and there, spoken by the angel and hearing the prophecy recited by Anna in the temple. But she sees all the way to the cross and the resurrection, probably unlikely. So I think as we read the story today, I want you guys to put yourself in Mary's place. This is the first Christmas. This is the first time that she ever heard the news. And that she is also a virgin. So I want you to put you in Mary's place as she hears the news for the first time. So let's begin to read from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 56. I will just read a portion at a time so we will get to see, you know, first of all, see Mary, because she is not the center of the story, but she is definitely a major character in this story. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greeting, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Okay, let's just stop here and pause and put yourself in Mary's place. Now, Mary is wondering what kind of greeting is this from an angel. Now, usually when angel come to you, it's not good news. Right? I mean, you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, what angel came to destroy. You also remember the story of Jacob wrestling with angel, and the angel hurt him. And there was always, seems to me, whenever angel shows up, there's always judgment or a lesson to be learned. So it is no wonder, you know, Mary said, "What is going on? Did I do something wrong? Is the judgment coming to me? You know, what is God going to do to me? I think that's why angel come and says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, nothing bad is going to come to you. But that is how I would think Mary would think. But the angel says, Mary, you are the what? Highly favored. The Lord is with you. Highly favored. You know, this word favor has the roots in grace. In other words, you can translate as one who received unmerited favor. Unmerited. She didn't do anything, but God favors her. That's grace. So Mary did not do anything wrong, deserve punishment. Rather, he didn't do anything particularly right also, but God favors her. God favors her. And as angel spoke to her, Mary did not know where this conversation is going to go. And then you see verse 30. But the angel said to her again, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. See that word favor again? You have found unmerited favor. You have found grace with God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, this word favor seems to be is angels' favorite words to describe who God is. And angel did not use the words that he's almighty or his foreknowledge or about God is sovereignty. But he uses often the words favor, which grace. Grace. So the angel calms Mary's heart. Don't be afraid. You are blessed because you are favored. I think as we approach the Lord, that's how we think, is that God favors us. Later on, we'll understand more the depth of that favor. But I think it calms our heart, is that when we approach God, that we approach God to the throne of grace without fear. That's Hebrew. Hebrew tells us we approach the throne of grace without fear. And this, in a way, this is what angel is proclaiming to Mary, that you are in the presence of God, but don't be afraid, because God favors you. God favors you. Okay, so Mary calmed a little bit. Okay, why am I favored? What is coming? And then angel said to him, to her, you will be, verse 31, you will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to call him, you'll give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Oh, well, that clarifies everything. You know, here's Mary. She's probably a teenager. And she never had the Christmas story. And she hear this and says, okay. Yeah, there are many statements in this angel's proclamation Mary could actually pursue and ask, you know. Son of God Most High, he will be called the Son of God Most High. The Lord God gave him the throne of his father David. There's so many threats that Mary can ask the angel, please explain. Tell me what is going on. But Mary says what? Mary most concerned is what? How will this be? coming to me. I am a virgin. How can I bear a son when I'm a virgin? Okay, even back then, okay, just for you guys, even though there's no advanced medical knowledge, they still know is that in order for you to bear a child, you gotta have a sperm. No sperm, no child. I mean, today is the same way. Even though you may not need a husband or a guy, but you still need a sperm and an egg to bear a child. But back then, that is common knowledge, right? That's common knowledge. So Mary says, you know, how can this be? I'm a virgin. My sperm donor is my husband. But I don't have a husband yet. I'm pledged to be married to someone. But we have no sex yet. How can that me, a virgin, give birth to a child? You know, there are many scenarios that can go on. When we read Matthew, I think Joseph, in the recording of Joseph's dream, there is one scenario, right? That one scenario is that Joseph can secretly divorce Mary, because now Mary with a child, who knows where this child come from, right? So he can secretly divorce her. But you know what would happen? Is that she will be forever be shamed, live in disgrace, because she's going to give birth to a child without a father. So Joseph's idea to secretly divorce her doesn't sound too good for Mary either. And then there's also the possibilities that Mary could be stoned to death because, by the law of Moses. He could be stoned to death. So that scenario is not good for Mary. And then the second scenario, of course, is that Joseph would take her home to be his wife. And then this Jesus, who was born of the Holy Spirit, will be born as Joseph's son. And then we'll keep that as a family secret. Nobody will know. So that is the second scenario. So I'm sure that Mary maybe had considered pondering, what does this mean, that me being pregnant with a child? And there's so many possibilities that could happen to her. It's not easy for Mary to receive the news. And then continue on. How will this be? Verse 34, verse 5, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." So the angel says, there's one thing about virgin giving birth, but then there's also another miracle just about to happen, that your cousin Elizabeth, who's already past the childbearing age, but she is now pregnant with a son. And then we all knew that's who that son is. Mary, is that there is a miracle right in front of you. Even though a virgin birth is a big leap in faith, you know, that without a sperm, you can have a baby. But something that seems like impossible is right in front of her eyes. And that's why angel says, nothing is impossible with God. So, virgin birth is not impossible with God. It is possible with the Lord. So as we are contemplating Mary coming to receive this news, you know, there is no scientific reason that she can fall back on and say, okay, maybe this can happen. For her, that she can go on is based on this one word, nothing is impossible with God. You know, I think often we understand God in the realm of possibility, even though it's a remote possibility, but it's still a possibility. That's how our faith kind of build around. You think about it. How many of your experience with God is really from the impossible, rooted in the impossibility, and then, you know, God did it. Very few, or almost none. Almost none. So that is the reason I say a lot of time we live in the realm of possibility, even though it could be very small possibility, but still is there. Still is there. That's where we live. That's our faith is in. Small possibilities. So I say many times that our God is too small for most of us. Our God is too small. For Mary to come to term with what angel said, that is a faith. That's a great leap from the realm of material, from the realm of our possible to the realm of impossible. That bridge is what Mary leaped. Mary received it. Mary believed it. And Mary happily take it. You know, I think for us is that we haven't been really challenged in our faith as far as to believe the impossible. To believe the impossible. Maybe when you are ravaged by cancer, all the doctor says you got 3 months to live. But you believe God is going to save you. God is going to take away the cancer, that you're going to live 30 more years. Now, that's a faith. That's a faith similar, maybe, like Mary's faith. Believing the impossibilities. Because nothing is impossible for God. Finding a job is not a challenge to the Lord, isn't it? Right? Finding a job, finding a place to live, you know, getting a right mate for your life, those are not faith challenge. This is a faith challenge. We'll see how Mary respond to that. So Mary went to visit Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." But why am I so favored? That words again, I'm so favored that the mother of my Lord shall come to me. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Blessed are the person who believe what the Lord says. So this is a confirmation for Mary. This is a confirmation for Mary. Elizabeth, through the Holy Spirit, spoke to Mary. Is that the child that you're bearing is the child of God. Elizabeth confirmed to Mary is that God can do the impossible even in a barren woman. So I feel as you leap, you take this great leap in faith, God always confirms that your faith is what God had given you. So there's always a confirmation about your faith, even in the impossibilities. And then this is how Mary responded to Elizabeth and also to the Lord. Verse 46 to 56. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generations. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So this is a Mary song from verse 67 to 46 to 56. "May the Lord's will be done to me. My soul glorifies the Lord." Again, I think we need to look at it is that it's not just a passive acceptance. Okay, God, your will be done. You know, what can I do? You know, whatever will be, Lord, made it done to me. May your will be done. But it gives me a happily, joyful acceptance of God's will. Even at this point, Mary does not know what will happen to her. What will happen to her? Her soul exalts the Lord. Her spirit rejoices over God. I'm not so sure that Mary in this song is telling us that God will save us from our sin. But she does know that God is her rescuer. God will save her from all harms. So in this way, we realize that God just not in the big things in our lives. You know, God give us eternal life, save us from sins, and forgive all of our wrongdoing. God is also will deliver Mary from all the people who might want to harm her. From all these people who will take the law of Moses and shove it down her throat. God will provide for her. God will provide for her baby. God will give her a place where the baby is born, where not too many people know what happened. God arrange all these things. You know the story. We know the story, but Mary doesn't know. God arranged for her to move from Nazareth to Bethlehem just for the birth of the baby. And God also provided her with gold so she
many people trying to kill
and
him.
Joseph can kill escape. But God rescue, God deliver. Your life is going to be like that. You know, your life. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. Right? I wish that everything goes well for you. But most likely, it's not going to go well. Not everything is going to smooth sailing for you. But what? We trust the Lord. He is our deliverer. He is our deliverer. He rescued us. And that's what Mary had. That's all she has. Is God be with her. God with her. So she joyfully received that. And she also take it to heart that she is the favored one. God let no harm come to the favored one. But, you know, Mary link up, not just that God favors her and her plight. God also favors Israel. Remember verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. So Mary links up her plight with the plight of her nations. And then from verse 50 to 54, there are a series of contrasts and characteristics of God that you begin to see in Mary's song. Like verse 50, his mercy is from generation to generation to those who fear and respect him. He has scattered those who are proud in their thoughts and in their hearts. 51, verse 50, he has brought down rulers from their thrones and exalt those who are humble. 53, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. See, there is that contrast. It seems to me that God favors those what? Who are humble. And then God has mercy on those who are humble and fearful of him. There are two key words, right, in here. There's mercy and humility. He's mindful of humble people who are characterized by their humble hearts in seeking the Lord, by their poverties as they depend on God for daily provisions, and by their fear of the Lord, of his judgment, and a certain sense of unworthiness of his goodness and mercy. This is the attitude, that God favors. But that is not the king, right? The people who who are powerful, who are in authority, has no room for God's mercy. Because they don't need it. They don't need it. But poor people does. People who feel a sense of oppressions, they need God's mercy. People who are being bullied in school, they need God's mercy. People who are poor, they need God's mercy. These are the things that drive us to see God's mercy. But the powerful, the beautiful, the sovereign, the kings, has no need for that. Has no need for that. And God brings judgment to them. God brings judgment to them. Mercy is, definition of mercy, one time somebody explained it to me. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Right? Thinking about it, that all of us were under God's mercy because we all deserve worse than what we have now. We all deserve what we, you know, worse than what we have. So that's mercy. And God also shows his mercy. In Psalm 103, 12 to 13, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's mercy. But those, there are also people who does not need God's mercy. And these are the proud people. You remember the story of King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4. He one day would go up to his palace. And he look out over all the things that he has built in his city. And he said, man, look at this. How great I am. And then the Lord says, okay, you think you're how great you are. I'm going to make you confuse you. So you will not know what's going on. And you'll be like a cow. You'll be eating grass. This is the king of the most powerful nations on earth back then. And God made him, God put judgment on him because he was so proud. He did not realize that God has a hand in elevating him to be the king. And he thought that was his doing. And so God puts judgment on him. So he becomes like a cow eating grass until that he repented and God restored his sanity. So that's how God works. And this is what Mary said to us. This is the characteristic. God is always on the side of the weak, of the poor. And never always on the side of the strong. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall what? Somebody finish that? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be. Matthew. Let's do Matthew. Yeah. I was hoping it's not for my wife. Matthew 5, the Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of God. For there will God receive him into his kingdom. And that's what God is. God wants us to be humble in the spirit. Okay, so you see this, and then you read this marriage song, you says, this can all apply to just Israel, the Jewish people. What does that got to do with us, with me? Right? In verse 54, he says very good, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. His servant Israel. This everything Mary sings about, prays about, can very easily just apply to Jews. Not us. How do we fit into this whole thing? Even Jesus, when a woman from outside of Israel's came to plead that Jesus heal her her daughter, and Jesus said to her, "I come only for the lost sheep of Israel." You know, and Jesus also say it's not right to take the food that was supposed for Israel, the people of Israel, and give it to you. You know, an outsider. And then you know what the woman says? The woman says, even the dog will eat the scrap off the table. Oh, man. You talk about humility. She described herself as a dog, even though he's not rightfully on the table eating the food that God provides, but the scrap is enough for her. So, this song can be easily be an ethnocentric song. It's only for the people of Israel. Why? I mean, Israel can have their savior. Baby Jesus for Israel. Right? Baby Jesus for the Jews. How does he become our savior? How did that happen? This, for all that matter, this could be just a Jewish holiday. Which is, it is preceding to Christmas, is Hanukkah, the lighting of, relighting of the temple. But thank God. Verse 55. So Abraham and his disciples, it says, remember to be merciful, right? To Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Even as he said to Abraham's descendants and forever. Who are the Abraham's descendants? Paul was very clear. You are Abraham's descendants. Not the Jews, who has the Jewish DNA is Abraham's descendant. It is us. Who has the same faith as Abraham are his descendants. And also, if you read in Genesis 17 and Genesis 12, when God made a covenant with Abraham, is that through Abraham, all tribes, all nations will be blessed through him. So there it is. There is a link up with us. It's not a Jewish holiday. It's not a baby Jew. You know, Jesus is not just baby for the Jews. It's for us because we are descendants, the rightful descendants of Abraham. So now, Christmas is meaningful to me. That he is my Savior. He is my Savior. It's not just Israel's Savior. That God is mindful, not just his people Israel, his servant Israel, but also mindful of us who are like a branch that was planted, that was onto the tree. Onto the grapevine. So that is why this Mary's song has so much to say to us. It tells us not just who God is, that he's mindful of the poor, the hungry, and the humble and the lowly, that he is always with them. But it also tells us that this baby Jesus is our Savior, not just the Jewish Savior. So did Mary know about all that? Did Mary know about all that? I think Mary knew. What do you think Mary know at this point? I mean, you guys all Mary in that first century. Okay, I told you to put yourself in the shoes of Mary. Okay, so what do you think Mary knows? Take away all the scripture that you have in your mind. In your mind, okay? What does Mary know? Mary knows, we talk about it. Mary knows who God is. Mary knows who God is. Mary knows that he can do the impossible because he received the impossible and he believed the impossible. Mary knows that. Mary knows that God is with her. Mary knows God is with her because God will rescue her. No matter what will happen, God will be her rescuer. And also, Mary knows that this is a savior of all mankind. It's not just the Jewish savior. He's a savior of all. But the questions, do you know that he can do all this miracle? He is going to die. He's going to rise from the dead. And he is the great I am. I can't go that far. But those are good questions. Those are good questions. We deal with what she already said. So I want for us to contemplate that. Mary, did you know there is a Clay Atkins, who sang this song first. And it was, you know, let's just listen to it and then appreciate what Mary knows. Mary may not know, but we know. We know. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that through the history and through your written words, we come to appreciate the Lamb of God that was given to us on this Christmas day. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are coming, that you are here, and that you'll be with us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you fill us this season and inspire us like you have inspired Mary so many thousand years ago, so that we know who you are, that you are the great I am. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.